Go. Daniel chapter 9 is where we're going to be at tonight. Did you get the text earlier? Okay. Did you read the text? And then did you read what the text said to read? Good. That's going to help things so much more tonight. Okay. So let me just move some things around here. There we go. Let's pray. Father, God, help us now. God, first I want to just thank you and praise you for your word, the Bible, the scriptures, these words that you have given to us to know you more, to see ourselves in light of you, and to know what to do about it. And so, God, we need your help, though, tonight as we try to understand your mind. And you've given us the Holy Spirit as well to lead us into understanding and how to do these things that we look at in your word. God, help me as I present this truth tonight. Help it to be clear and also leaving us with an understanding of what to do with it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, question, is God sovereign? Yes, good answer. All right. Does heaven rule? Yes, he does. Do we believe that? Okay, you smell a setup coming here, don't you? Right? But this is true. Do we believe it? We're going to say yes. Okay, let's see how it relates to our prayer life. If we say God is sovereign, heaven rules, and we believe it, we're going to look at how it relates to prayer, because I believe, without even having asked any of you, I believe Christians struggle in this area. Now, just to give confirmation on that, okay, we're all going to answer it at the same time, so nobody feels like they're singled out, okay? I'm going to ask the question, I'll say 1, 2, 3, and then we'll all answer at the same time. Do you struggle in this matter of prayer? 1, 2, 3. There we go. We need this. Okay. Christians do struggle in this area. It's hit and miss at times. Sometimes it's weak. Sometimes it's quick. We just fire off a quick prayer. Sometimes it's forced because we got to do it. You know, you got to pray. You got to pray before you eat, right? So you just fire off that obligation so that you can eat and not feel guilty. You can eat and not get food poisoning for not praying, you know, whatever. So who rules? God. But if we believe that governments rule, or our critics rule, or our culture, or decision makers in our life, or circumstances, or just even other people, then we spend our time thinking, we spend our thinking time, our speaking time, and our energy on those people, don't we? Whatever it is that happened to you already this week. Unplanned, unexpected, you wished it weren't that way, you've spent time thinking about it, okay? So we know that's true. the ones or the things, whether it's people or things, that we think are ultimately ruling, because that's what we focus our thoughts on. So we are focused on how to change other people's minds, either in our own social circles or on a bigger, broader scheme in our country. We focus on how to fight back, how to defend ourselves, defend my actions, how to get people to like us. We think about how to impress those who can do something for me sometimes. Or we worry over the ones who are upset with us. Now, how many of you like it when people are mad at you? How many don't care if people are mad at you? Yeah, there's a few. You're just not going to raise your hands. So sometimes we want to just run from those things. We want to hide. We want to escape. We want to ignore these things in our life that are ruling us. And people do that in different ways. They'll sit down and just veg out with a 500 crossword book, or binge watch something on TV, or hit social media and just start scrolling, just to escape those things that are in effect ruling us. I think we kind of do that sometimes to just dull the anxiety that we get from these things that in our minds are ruling us. But if we really believe that heaven rules, the always appropriate response, if heaven rules, is to pray. When we believe the other things rule, and we're not going to admit that we actually do that. I'm talking about other people, of course. What do they talk about? This issue, or that person, or the governor, or legislation, or protests that are in the media right now, okay? And how bad everything is. And it is, okay? And that's what we talk about, where if we believe God rules, we would be talking to the one who does rule. Now, imagine if you had a problem in your workplace and your boss doesn't seem to be doing anything about it and you can't get it resolved. You're going to go to the person and talk to the person who can fix it, right? Whoever that is. If it's not your boss, it's going to be his boss or someone else. You go and you talk to the one that does rule. In our life, the person, the circumstance, we place that in his hands, and we trust him that we could be in no safer place and find no more reliable provision than what God can offer to us. So when we really believe that heaven rules, our prayer life changes with that belief. So let's talk about first the habit of prayer from Daniel's life. Now, here's what's happening where we left him last time. Overnight, there's been a total regime change. Belshazzar is gone. He saw that handwriting on the wall. Daniel told him what it meant. Look at verse 30 of chapter 5. It's on the screen for us. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Nothing is the same now. It totally, completely changed. Nothing's the same, or maybe it is, but here's the thing. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's the next morning they wake up and their king is gone and someone else from a totally foreign country is now running things. Nobody knows what's going on. Talk about chaotic, okay? Everything's up in the air. And it's like a change in leadership on the government level. Now, we can look at our upcoming elections, okay? And if there's a regime change, okay, we might have an expectation of what it's going to be like. If it changes back the other way on the next cycle, we might have an idea what it's going to be like. Some would say it doesn't matter who's up there. It's all the same anyway. There's just a lot of unknowns taking place right now in Daniel's life. But his mind was fixed on the king who rules from heaven. That's what mattered most to him. In Daniel 6, verse 10, that was one of the passages I had you read today. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So this has been a habit for Daniel. This is what he did. This is what he always did. 3 times a day he prayed. Now, he did that in chapter 2. We were there once when Nebuchadnezzar ordered all the wise men to be killed because they couldn't tell him what his dream was, much less interpret it. Daniel, in chapter 2, went to his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what did they do? They prayed. They prayed, and God answered. God gave Daniel what the dream was and the interpretation of it. Now, remember, they came to his house to kill all the wise men. And we talked about Daniel's response. And it was calm, cool, and collected. And he gets his three friends praying. God gives him that answer. It's a very time-sensitive situation right now for Daniel there in chapter 2. What would you do as soon as you had that answer? Run to the king, right? Okay, I gotta get my neck out of the noose, so to speak. But he didn't run off to the king with the answer. He paused to pray. He paused to just thank God in prayer. And let's look at that. Daniel 2 and verse 20. It'll be on the screens again. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." We know. Oh, by the way, this wasn't just they prayed. God gave them the answer. And it wasn't just, I think you can tell, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." And then off. He stopped. He just took time to stop. And we have this prayer recorded for us. Now, we know that if God's people are humble and repentant, God moves in response to their prayers in order to accomplish his purposes. Prayer matters, okay? But how can we learn to pray more effectively? Learning to pray, number 2 in your outline. One way to learn to pray more effectively is to listen to others pray, like Daniel. And that's what we're going to do in chapter 9, if you want to turn in your Bibles that direction. This is the prayer of someone who knows and believes that God rules. Now, by this time, David. All right. I keep getting these looks and I'm wondering if that's what I'm doing. If I say David, that's my nickname for him tonight. It's not intentional. Okay. I'm meaning Daniel. Daniel's 70s. At this time here, between 70 and 80. When did he first come to Babylon? As a teenager. So he has pretty much lived his whole life in a foreign country and under the control of a godless government. And now there's a whole nother change. But not really. It's just more of the same, kind of like our government, right? And I don't mean that to be funny sounding. But I'm trying to draw a parallel to what Daniel was going through as we're learning here. Man, this is so easy to apply to what's going on in our country right now. We're experiencing the same elements here that Daniel, minus the lion's den there in chapter 6. But the same types of things are going on. What did Daniel do? Well, let's learn from Daniel. He went to the scriptures. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, it says, in the first year of his reign, speaking of King Darius, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Okay, everything is changing. Maybe everything is chaotic right now in Daniel's world. There is a need to know what is going on. So what does Daniel do? He goes to God's word. He starts digging into the book Jeremiah, looking to see what Jeremiah the prophet wrote. He goes to God's word. Where do we go first? Well, we want to try to understand what's going on in our world. We maybe have favorite podcasters that we go to, favorite news outlets that we go to. I'm not speaking of to know what happened yesterday in this incident, but to try to figure out what's going on. Daniel went to God's word. And I think right now we could spend some time going to God's word to find out what's going on in our world. Paul wrote about it to Timothy. In those last days, here's what you're going to see happening. We're seeing those things happening. So we know where we're at in God's timeline. Now, with Daniel, he was actually able to, because of the prophecies, determine that there was just a few years left before that 70 years was up and Israel would be freed. In fact, that did happen. Look at verse 3 of chapter 9. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and ashes. Sackcloth and ashes. Now, here's what happens when we pray. We turn our attention from the concern, the problem, the circumstance, the purpose, or any distractions that there might be. We turn our minds from that and we just focus on God. That's what happens when we pray. Have you ever tried to have two conversations at the same time? Totally impossible. I cannot talk to Gary and at the same time those words are coming out, I'm also talking to Joe. It's not going to work. And if I try to ping pong back and forth between the two, it's going to get jumbled up and confused. When we are praying, talking to God, we're no longer talking to ourselves about the things, whatever it is that our mind is focused on. So Daniel first, he went to the scriptures, and then we see in this prayer of chapter 9, he's praising. Look at verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Now, I want to point out here that this isn't a step by step of how to pray, because if you go through chapter 9, he's constantly praising God all through chapter 9. I would encourage you to go back tonight, read through this prayer of his in chapter 9, and just underline or highlight everything he's praising God for. He's praising God for being great and dreadful, a covenant keeper, a God of mercy, righteousness. Again, mercies and forgiveness in verse 9. Verse 14, the Lord watched. We're going to get to that here. I'm jumping ahead. That's a good verse. No, don't look at it yet. Don't look at it yet. Okay. He's praising God for being a covenant keeper. What does that mean? God keeps his promises, right? Here Daniel's been stuck in Babylon for pretty much his whole life, for 6 years. And he's praising God for keeping his promises, for being a covenant keeper. He hasn't seen that promise come to fruition yet, but he believes it's coming. And he's praising God for being that covenant keeper. He's praising God for his mercies. Now, let me see here. Verse 5, there, that's where it is. We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. He then is also confessing in his prayers. But as he's praising God all throughout chapter 9, especially for the mercies, he references the Israelites being brought out of Egypt. That was a grand thing to praise God for, right? That was a showing of God's power over earthly rulers. But it was also another thing. It was a showing of God's mercy. Why were they slaves in Egypt anyway? Because of their sin, okay? And God was showing mercy on them. And now Daniel is confessing that. He's not talking about the sinfulness of the world around him. So just to make it look like today, it's not us confessing to God about the sin in America. He is confessing about the sinfulness of God's people. So today that would be us confessing to God the sinfulness of Christians. In verse 13, it says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Daniel talking about himself, his people, Christians, okay? And it says that they didn't go before the Lord in order to turn from their sin. Our country is not in the mess that it's in because of who's in the White House. It's not in the mess that it's in because of a particular party. It's not in the mess that it's in because they got the Bible out of public schools. It's not in the mess that it's in because of those people, but rather God's people, Christians, have not turned from their sin. Only by them, those Christians, us, admitting and repenting of it, will deliverance come to America. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people will repent, I will heal their land of all those people's stuff. And Daniel is pointing that out here in his confession. God had shown mercies and forgiveness over and over and over with the Israelites. And they continued to rebel against God. It talks about that in verse 9. They didn't obey. They lived their lives the way they thought was best. Let's look at verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Daniel confesses in verse 11, the mess we're in right now, he's saying, is because we have sinned against God. So now look at verse 14. Now we can look at that. Therefore hath the Lord, Daniel praying, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. Daniel, he spent most of his life in Babylon. And he's confessing the reason we're in this mess is because of our sin as God's people. And then in verse 14, he says, God brought it on us because we did not obey his voice. The answer for us in our country is not the White House. And it's not... I probably say this with a little bit of exception. It's not necessarily us going out in evangelism and saving the world. It is us repenting of our own sin. According to what Daniel, God is showing us here through Daniel. But also Daniel is pleading for mercy, verses 15 through 19 of chapter 9. He's pleading for mercy and forgiveness. Daniel had this belief that God rules and heaven rules, so that when he was thrown in the lion's den back in chapter 6, okay, he was faced with a choice. Now, we're all familiar with Daniel. That's why we're not going to spend a lot of time going through the lion's den account. He was faced with a choice right there. The people that didn't like him convinced the king to write a law saying you can only pray to me for 30 days. And they knew Daniel prayed 3 times a day. So he was faced with a choice. Serve God or compromise. Now, he could have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They, remember when we covered them. They could have bowed along with everyone else in front of the statue and just prayed to God instead of praying to the statue. Kind of compromise a little bit, make it look like they were going along with the world, but not exactly, but nobody would know. Daniel could have done the same thing here. He could have compromised, but his perspective was that God rules. I'm not going to compromise. And this is how we have to learn to think. When stuff happens in our life, this is how we have to learn to believe, really believe. God is ruler over all. You and I, we face things. Big things, sometimes. Sometimes they're personal things. People things, circumstances. And when we continue to try to get people's approval or acceptance, even in our personal life, or how about this? As a church, we want the community to accept us. In the Christian community, a term that's been around for quite some time, it's called being culturally relevant. We want our culture to accept us as a church, so we're going to change the way we do things so that they will accept us. Folks, they did not accept Jesus. And Jesus said, if you follow me, they will not accept you. That's only because Jesus didn't read that book about being culturally relevant. If he did, he wouldn't have said that. Sarcasm, okay? So Daniel was faced with this choice. And when we continue to try to get people's approval, or believe that our hopes are on the promises of other people, and we don't want to do anything to lose something from other people or organizations, then we are letting earth rule at that point. Daniel in the lion's den. We're so familiar with that, right? I gave you a quick summary of it there just a few minutes ago in about 30 seconds. let's look at number 3. Heaven rules principles. So Daniel was faced with that choice. He was thrown in the lion's den. And the last verse we're going to look at, it's one of my favorites in all of chapter 6. Okay, we'll do that right at the end. But here's a principle for us when we take this concept that heaven rules and apply it to us. This principle: don't panic, pray. Don't panic, but pray. Sometimes there might be an issue that comes up, and I know I've experienced this, like, oh man, here we go again. And you know what my mind does? It immediately starts going back to the other times that this thing came up. Here we go again. It means there's been other times. And my mind starts regurgitating and returning over these other times. That's what my mind is thinking of. And what was said, what was done, what should have been said, how it should have been resolved, how to do this. Don't panic. Pray. That's what Daniel did. First, we go to the one who rules and talk to him about it. So don't panic. Pray. Second principle is this. Let your prayer be your testimony. Okay, this part is so cool. Daniel prayed three times a day in front of an open window. Everyone knew it. That's how they got the king to write this law that they thought would get rid of Daniel. He was known for being this kind of a person. The problem came up. I'm guessing anyone around him would know Daniel's going to pray. Nope. I know what Daniel's going to do first. He's going to pray. Don't even ask him what he thinks about it. We got to give him some time to pray first, because he's going to run off to his window. He's going to spend some time in prayer. That was his testimony. And because that was God rules, heaven rules, he believed it. That was his mindset. Everyone knew, so to speak. Two verses to look at here. Daniel 6 and verse 16. Okay, they just lowered Daniel into the lion's den. And here's the king. The king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. Now the king's, okay, Daniel's been lowered into the lion's den. So he's not in front of the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, as he's been lowered into that hole, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. This is a foreign king who worships other gods. And yet something about Daniel's testimony, this unsaved man will call him, is saying, Daniel, your king, your God's going to deliver you. And all he had to go on about Daniel's God was Daniel's testimony. That is so powerful. So the night goes, the night passes, the king comes back out. Now look in verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. They haven't pulled him out yet. They haven't looked down into the hole yet. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, he's expecting that Daniel's alive. This is amazing. O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And then Daniel speaks. Wow. Daniel's testimony was that powerful. When problems in the kingdom or in his workplace or in government, when all these things came up, Daniel wasn't joining in with everyone else. I don't like this. He just prayed. That was his perspective. Now, here's the verse that I like in chapter 6. I like how this ends. The king decides that he's going to put the people that set Daniel up into the lion's den. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. Oh, it's getting good, okay? And they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. It's that last part there, not the wives and the children part. But the king threw their whole, dropped their whole families in there. And it says they were all crushed and mangled before they even hit the bottom of the den. The lions just went to town on them. That's God. That is God's justice. So these lions weren't just full and not hungry, and that's why they didn't bother Daniel all night. Okay. Here's a third principle. Keep a heaven rules perspective with everything in life, big, little, small. So the questions we started with, is God sovereign? Yes. Does heaven rule? Last question, don't answer it. Does your prayer life show it? God in heaven, please help us with this. Help us to understand this concept, the correlation between who we think rules and our prayer life. God, I pray your Spirit would help us make those adjustments in our mind as we continue to learn from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.